We'll be in 2 Chronicles. We'll do chapters 14 through 16. We'll have to do a little cut and paste here. Can't get through every single verse, but we're going to do some of that, some good stuff. If I do something that works out, like at the end result is good, and I got there and I made it work, even if it was the wrong thing to do to get there, if I get the right result, is that okay? Like maybe I cut some corners. Maybe I did something a little wrong, but I got to the right result. Is that okay? Or does integrity matter? Because integrity matters? I don't like that. Let me get another answer. Could I? This is America, right? I can just go on Facebook and find somebody to tell me what I want to hear, right? No. COVID's just when you sneeze. It's fine. Yeah. Do I need to seek God for how I handle it? If I've handled it myself, can I just say, okay, God, I did it. I'll let you know when I need you. Because that's what we're going to run across today. Let me remind you where we've been. Jesus has said, the one who obeys me is the one who loves me. If you don't love me, you didn't obey me. If you didn't obey me, you didn't love me. The one who loves me obeys my commands. It's over and over again in the book of John. We looked at that. And we learned that peace comes from trusting God and taking steps as he leads. That's where our peace comes from. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives, which is situational. If everything's cool in my relationship, I have peace there. If everything's cool at work, I get peace there. If everything's cool in my bank account, I get peace there. If everything's cool in the world, we all dead, because that ain't going to happen, right? We're called to make decisions from faith rather than from fear. Jesus has given us peace, and it's peace of heart and mind, regardless of what's going on in the world. I look at what's going on in the world, and I go crazy. I look at Jesus, and I say, you know what? The world's crazy. We good. Does that make sense? That's where we have been so far. And we're called to make these decisions from faith rather than from fear. Anytime I make a fear-based decision rather than acting in faith as God leads, it never goes well and God isn't glorified. And you know why? Because God didn't have to show up. There was no faith involved, so I could do it on my own. And so God didn't have to show up. He didn't have to show his glory. And I've often wondered what I've missed when I, in fear, have been unwilling to take the steps of faith where God was going to have to. I put him on the line. He was going to have to show up when I didn't stay faithful. I've always wondered that. When I seek God, when I'm led by his Spirit, when I take steps of faith, trusting God alone, God is glorified and I'm blessed. And that is always true. That will always be true of me, always be true of you. It's not how well you start. It's not how you do in the middle. It's how you end. It's the end of your life. So any of us can start well, man. Start the Christian life. Man, I'm on fire for Jesus. I love Jesus. This is awesome. I may make it through the middle, but how do I end? Because I can't live off of the past. And you need to know this as a believer. You may look back and you remember the day you were saved, the day that you placed your faith in Christ and he changed your life and your heart. If you're older, you probably do remember. For me, I was 20 years old and God got a hold of my heart and changed me in such a way it was night and day. Some of you were, 2 years old and your first words were, Jesus, save me. And then they baptized you and that's all you remember. Hey, good on you. Nothing wrong with that. But when you go back and you say, man, I've got this legacy and I've known Jesus for a while and I've grown in him and I've read his word and I've memorized scripture and I remember leading so-and-so to Christ and I remember being in this church and I remember being taught that and I know my theology and hey, all of that's good. Where are you at with Jesus now? It's not how you start. It's not even the middle. It's how you end faithfully. And I've been around long enough to know guys who start well and they screw up in the middle and they think that's it, they're done for. Oh, you don't want to be one of those people. You're not done for, you're never done for. Grace is God's specialty. And you need to hear this morning. If you're still drawing breath, your story's still being written. And you get to decide the ending. And that's the hard part because I want to just real quickly for my theology nerds, my more reformed folks, my more Calvinistic folks would be saying, no, you don't get to decide anything. Yeah, you kind of do. God is always rooting for you. God is always in your corner going like, yeah, I want you to walk with me. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God wants people to walk closely. You get to make that decision. If you're still drawing breath, regardless of where you are, what you've done, what you've been through, you get to decide the ending. And your God is for you. He is not against you. God didn't send his son into the world to die for the sins of the world except for you because he knows what you're like. No. Your God loves you. He is on your side. And there will never be a moment where that is not true. And you need to receive that this morning. We'll be in 2 Chronicles. We'll start in chapter 14. And we'll talk about Abijah briefly, and then we'll go into King Asa. So Abijah, just at the outset, is an evil king. He does some good things, but he winds up being an evil king, along with Maacah, his mother, who's also mentioned. He's going to lead Judah into great idolatry. He's going to be the guy who spreads idols throughout the land and gets God's people worshiping these little statues and these Asherah poles and the rest of that. And we got kids with us today. We didn't release them to children's church third Sunday, so I'm going to be careful on this. But he also allowed for male cult prostitutes. You'll know what that means most likely. If not, don't spend time trying to imagine it, because then you're just going to have to repent, and it just gets messy. Marries 14 wives. He's not a good guy. And Scripture says of him in Kings, which is parallel to Chronicles that we're going to look at, he walked in all the sins that his fathers did before him, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God. And so for 3 years he reigns, he dies, and his son comes into power. So this is Abijah, evil guy, got a mom who's also evil. Their son, Asa, is born. Is old enough now to reign. Abijah dies. Asa is now going to be king. And you've heard the saying, right? Apples don't fall far from the. Yeah, right. So when his son is going to become king, and an apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but God, and God changes everything. Doesn't matter how you grew up. Doesn't matter what you experienced, what you went through, what your parents and their parents were like. The apple can fall far from the tree because of God. So Asa comes to power. He reigns for 41 years. And you need to know this from the outset. He is not his father's son, thank God. Let's jump in. Asa did what was what? Good and right in the sight of the Lord his God. Very different from evil King Abijah and Queen Mother Maacah. He comes from idolatry. In fact, God says that Abijah is evil because he is not fully committed to the Lord his God. And I've always puzzled with that. Abijah, his dad, was evil because he was not fully committed. He was half committed. If you go back and read the story, he did some good stuff. A half commitment isn't a commitment. And none of us are going to be perfect, please understand, but a half commitment isn't. Asa did what was good and right. Let's look at it. He removed the pagan altars in the high places. He shattered their sacred pillars and chopped down their Asherah poles. He's smashing idols. According to God, that is good and right. Getting rid of the idols in the land. This is a king under a theocracy. He told the people of Judah to seek the Lord God of their ancestors and to carry out the instructions and commands. So he's reminding people to seek their God. That is good and right in the sight of the Lord. To follow the commands, that's good and right in the sight of the Lord. He also removed the high places and the shrines, the incense altars, from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom experienced peace under him. So not only did he get rid of the idols, he got rid of the places they would gather to worship, and we're told in another parallel passage that he got rid of the male cult prostitutes as well, got them out of the land. He's doing some good stuff. They got no place to worship these false gods, and they got no false gods. This is good. It's good and right, and God responds by giving them peace. The land has peace. Historically, God's people, you look Old Testament, have rarely connected conflict, war, disease, lack with their own idolatry and their refusal to follow him. And yet in here you see really, really clearly when God's people are in sin, they go through some hard times, God removes his hand from them and they experience the consequences of their actions. That's called passive judgment. God don't have to judge. All he's got to do is say, go at it, big boy. You can have what you want and deal with the consequences of their actions. When God's hand of favor is on them, when his blessing is on them, he's protecting and watching over them. And I always wonder, how much could have been avoided? How much blessing did they miss? Insisting on their own freedom which is really just a slavery by another name. Hey, Lord, I appreciate what your word says, but I'm going to go pursue this relationship. I mean, like, I know what I love you, God. I'm going to go ahead and go after. I know you said this ain't right. I'm going to go after this anyway. And I've always wondered, like, what did I miss if I did that, right? Like, what could I have experienced from God that I'm not experiencing? What inner conflict? What peace have I missed out on? What am I going through that I... Yeah, because that's true in our lives as well. When I walk after the things of God, I experience the blessings of God. Kings are powerful. You've heard me say this before. Like, there is no Congress to go to. If the king says you die, dude, you die. You don't get to go, thanks, king, I appreciate that. I'm going to take this to the Supreme Court. There ain't, I am the Supreme Court, sucker, you dead, right? That's a king. But kings are also assassinated if you read the Bible. There's like, this one got killed, and then this one came up. This one got killed, and you're like, you're the third king going, I don't know that I want to be king. Why don't we, I'm going to go over here and play some pinball. You guys, right? Kings are also assassinated, and Asa, is messing with their religion and their superstitions. Oh, and these people are scared. Can you imagine you've been sacrificing to the goddess Asherah? You've been sacrificing to some of the false gods, and your crops have been growing. Your animals have been fertile. You've had kids. Life is good. It's been raining, and the sun's been shining. And now King Asa comes along, and he smashes the Asherah poles. He gets rid of the idols. The places that you worship are gone. I don't know if you know this or not. People can get a little freaked out when you mess with their religion. If you don't believe that, just find a church that's been around for a long time and tell them you're going to go remove their pews. See how it goes for you. Dude, you'll be removed, right? Or your head from your body. He's messed with their religion. And Asa's mindset, his heart is this, right is right regardless. His decisions are faith-motivated, not fear-based. I'm going to do what is right. Whatever happens, happens. Apples can fall far from the tree. His dad brought in the idols. He's getting rid of them. You are not your family. You need to know this. You're not how you were raised. What you experienced, the sin, the dysfunction, the abuse, that's not who you are. God breaks chains, and aren't you glad? Some of you are here right now saying, God has broken chains in my life. Thank God for that. Generational change of sin and abuse, shame and pain. God breaks those. Don't you believe the lie that you have to be what you saw growing up? I still remember, and my dad's here. He could correct me if I was wrong. I still remember talking to Dad on the phone. I think he was in Texas at the time. And Dad told me, you had it better than I did. And I know some of what my dad went through, and he's right. And he said, and because of Jesus, your son is going to have it better than you did. Jesus breaks chains continually. You don't have to be what you saw growing up. Your kids, if you feel like, man, I've messed up so much. Dude, if your kids are still drawing breath, there's time for things to change. You don't have to walk in guilt and shame. Jesus breaks every chain, but you have to take the steps of faith. Man, for some of you, isn't it time to smash those idols? You know what I'm talking about? It's time to get rid of those, the deceit of, well, I'll just never, I am who I am. People don't change. Dude, if they don't change, what are we doing here? You kidding me? I'm not at all what I used to be, and thank God I'm not what I'm hopefully going to become, right? Of course we do. Jesus breaks the chains. You have to take the steps of faith. And when those idols want to rise up again of comfort or of lust or of anger or of bitterness and hatred or whatever it is, smash them again. And don't stop, because your family, your friends, your world, they need the best version of you, the one that God created you to be. That's hopefully what we're becoming as we follow Christ, the one that follows Jesus fully. Grace is God's specialty. You'll hear this several times today. If you're still drawing breath, your story is still being written, and you get to decide the ending. Asa is drawing breath. He came from evil, but God, but God. Because the land experienced peace, Asa built fortified cities in Judah. No one made war with him in those days because the Lord gave him rest. Here's the thing. God gives him rest, and he says, okay, we're good. God's got us. No, he says, you know what? Fallen state of humankind, people are at war. I got rest right now. Let's use this time to go ahead and fortify the cities. And God blesses that. They have rest, which is a supernatural gift, and they fortify the cities. He said to the people of Judah, let's build these cities, surround them with walls and towers, with doors and bars. The land is still ours because we sought the Lord our God. When you walk with God, you connect what's happening to what God is doing. God gave us rest, so we got to do our part. Yeah, let's go ahead and build some walls. Because the world out there is still a little rough. And we want to build the walls and prepare so we can continue, hopefully, to have peace. We sought him and he gave us rest on every side, so they built and they succeeded. Faithfulness over fear and what God has shown you so far set you up for faithfulness in a massive test of faith. In other words, he says, I'm going to smash the idols. I'm getting rid of the Asherah poles, those male cult prostitutes out of the land. People could have turned on him, but he does what is good and right in these things. And that sets him up for the next massive test of faith. Watch this. Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah bearing large shields and spears. So he's got some people, he's got some peeps, he's built an army, that's good. But they're not a big territory. Asa's territory is in Jerusalem and it is two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, half tribe of Manasseh. The other 10 tribes are in the northern kingdom. So he didn't have a whole lot of people. He's built what he's got, 300,000. And 280,000 from Benjamin bearing regular shields and drawing the bow. All of these are valiant warriors and all of that's good. And it sounds amazing until you get to the next part. Then Zerah the Cushite came against him with an army of how many? Oh, that seems like more. Like I went to public school, so I'm not sure, but I think that's more. And chariots, game changer. When you read that, you need to know. They had the bow and arrow, and they were really good. Dude, they got chariots. That's a technology that Judah does not have at this time. And I put that asterisk there because it's either 300 or 30,000. And the Hebrew word isn't for sure, but I think it's 30,000. If you got a million, you probably got 30,000 chariots. And that is a game changer. Think about a Gatling gun versus a six shooter. Hold on, let me reload. Uh-oh, got a bunch of holes in me. Think about, oh yeah, slingshot versus a drone that can drop a bomb. They're dead meat. They're 86th. They're cooked. They're done for. And Zerah the Cushite came as far as Mareshah. And others are in Judah's territory. They're 25 miles from the seat and center of the kingdom, which is Jerusalem. They're a day's march away with a million people and the Gatling gun and the drone. They're in trouble. Asa has been faithful so far. He's trusted God when he could have made fearful decisions and just let things go. You know, maybe later in my kingdom, I can make some changes, but I don't want... No, he's been the guy who said, no, we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to follow God no matter what. So Asa marched out against him, lined up in battle formation in Zephatha. I promise I tried that this morning. Zephatha Valley at Mareshah. So he brings all his men out. Now understand, 300,000, 280, 580 versus a million with chariots. So does he go and does he ask for peace? Like, maybe we can get along. Does he try and make some kind of treaty and surrender? Does he just fight and hope for the best? Let's just go in, let's just figure this thing out. Then Asa cried out to the Lord his God. Lord, there is no one besides you to help the mighty and those without strength. Now, don't miss this. He is not posturing. There's no ego. There's no, I'm a king. You're a dead king. There's no posturing. There's no ego involved, no pride. He knows he is cooked if God doesn't intervene. This is the perfect posture for coming to the Lord. When you got nothing, Lord, I am screwed if you don't show up. I ain't going to make it. Perfect place to go to God in prayer. Remember what we've been saying, God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Humility, if you get right down to it, is simply reality. My very next breath comes from God. Who am I to boast? about how amazing I am. He goes on. Help us, Lord our God, for we depend on you. And in your name we have come against this large army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let a mere mortal hinder you, whether it's me or the other guy. Don't let it. Please, Lord, we're doing this in your name. Please show up for us. And so Asa prays. Now, once he prays, he doesn't turn around and walk off. Like, he didn't pray and then just go, okay, I hope God handles it. Hey, guys, come on, let's go grab some lunch. I think Chipotle opens around 2. Let's get on out. No, no, no. You pray, but then you also got to show up and you got to fight, right? You don't lean on a shovel and say, God, I wish you'd give me a hole here. Pray all you want. God, give me the strength to dig the hole. You're going to have to dig the hole. He's going to have to go out and fight. But here's the thing. God's got no problem showing up. And so he prays, and then he goes to war. And the Lord routed the Cushites before Asa and before Judah, and the Cushites fled. And if you listen to that and you think, man, that's crazy. There's no way that could ever happen. Dude, we're in a country that exists because a bunch of untrained, ragtag rebels decided they wanted to be free. Right? Trust in God, and God gives them this huge victory. And the Cushites fled. And we're skipping a little bit, and there are parts where they go in and they begin to just go and make sure they ain't never going to trouble us again. And it says this, after this great victory, the Spirit of God came on Azariah, son of Oded. God wants to speak to Asa. He's got a little love letter he wants to give him. So he went out to meet Asa. This prophet goes out to meet Asa, and he said to him this, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, all the people of the kingdom, hear me. The Lord is with you when you're with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you abandon him, he will abandon you. This is an if-then, this is a conditional, this is old covenant. And I need to make that distinction. Listen, if you know Jesus, he's always with you, man. If you're faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself and his Spirit lives in you. But as a country, listen, you abandon him, he'd be glad to take his hand of protection off of you. Now he goes on to say that there was no peace for years in this land because there was no true God in the land. And then he says, but as for you, Asa, be strong and do not give up, for your work has a reward. Now he's going to need this 20 years from now, and we'll go there in just a minute. This is a love note from God. This is, hey, Asa, remember this moment. Hey, Asa, don't give up. Asa, don't give up. Continue to trust God. Be strong in the Lord. Don't give up. It's a love letter and it's a warning. And he's going to need it. But I don't know how many of you know, 20 years is a long time. Like, it's hard for me to remember what was happening 20 years ago. I think we had a 2-year-old, so I can't remember much of anything except changing diapers or telling Dolores that the diapers needed to be changed. One or the other, I don't remember which. When Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Azariah, he's jazzed, right? He just came off this huge victory. He took courage. And so now he's going to go even further. Anything left, he removed the abhorrent idols from the whole land of Judah. And he's gone further now. Anything that is an idol, he is removing. It's not allowed in the land. And he's allowed to, theocracy, he's allowed to do that. These are the people of God. He renovated the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. So they're going to put God's altar back together the way it ought to be because it's been broken down. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, as well as the tribes of Ephraim, Manasseh and Simeon, who were residing among them, for they had defected to him from Israel in great numbers when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So now people are coming from the northern kingdom because it's a divided kingdom because they're realizing you serve God, you're good. Grace is God's specialty. If you're still drawing breath, your story is still being written, you get to decide the ending. These people in this other tribe that were, this other kingdom that were worshiping false gods, they're going to come in and join because they realize we need to be serving God. They were gathered in Jerusalem in the 3rd month of the 15th year of Asa's reign. Huge gathering. At that time, they sacrificed to the Lord. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord their God of their ancestors with all their heart and with all their soul. You know what he's doing? He's drawing the people of God back to repentance, national revival. This is an amazing moment. And I've lost my ability to, oh, Ken, I've lost my batteries, bro. Completely lost them. This is going to be that day. If this had happened to Pastor Corey, I'd laugh. Yeah. They sought him with all sincerity, and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. Say it again. Grace is God's specialty. If you're still drawing breath, your story is still being written. You get to decide the ending. The nation as a whole, those living at that time decided, we're going to follow God. The nation repented. Idols, high places of worship have been destroyed. The male cult prostitutes driven out. God's altar has been rebuilt. The people are called to repentance, but there's still one more thing. There's one more thing that needs to be done. And I think there's a reason why he leaves it for the end. You ever had to have like a really hard conversation where you, in a sense, need to rebuke a parent? Has that ever happened to you? I haven't. I'll never do it, I promise. But he's got to go up against one of his family members. And this is going to be hard. Like facing down all those people, that was cool. Going against Sarah, yeah, that was tough. This is your grandma. Can you imagine rebuking your grandma? Ooh. Yeah, sweet little old lady with a belt and a cane, a switch. You got to go up against her. This is Ma'aka, grandma, and she's still going strong. She's the queen mother. She's revered in the land. King Asa also removed Ma'aka, his grandmother, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. I'm not even going to break that down for you. It dirty old grandma, and she worshiping a goddess. Asa chopped down her obscene image. Then he crushed it and burned it in the Kidron Valley. He deposed his grandmother. She's not allowed to be the queen mother anymore. He disgraced her in front of the whole nation. But he's got to because she is spiritually disqualified. She does not get to be the person who represents the family and the nation when she's worshiping false gods. That's his heart. That's amazing to me. That takes big brass guts. What do you think I was going to say? In the 36th year of Asa, so we're now 20 years later, okay? You with me? 15th year, great revival after a huge victory. 36th year, 20 years later-ish, Israel's king Baasha went to war against Judah. So this is a divided kingdom. These are the people, remember, they had left, some of them to come to Judah. That king over there has decided to come to war now. So what happened the last time someone came against Asa? Do you remember this? What happened? We just talked about it. He prayed, right? God gave victory. Okay. Faithfulness in the past, God's hand of blessing back then, knowledge of what God did, can't guarantee faithfulness now. We can't live in what we were. But I've memorized a lot of verses, Lord, from back then. Oh, Lord, I remember how I was so on fire for you. Oh, Lord, I remember when I took a paycheck and I gave it to somebody homeless to help them. Oh, Lord, cool. Where are you at with God now? Because what we've done in the past can set us up for faithfulness now, but it doesn't guarantee it. We got to make the daily decision to walk with God. Jesus says this. Walking with God is not a given. It's a daily decision. If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. How often? Daily. And follow me. It's an if-then. If you want to follow me, this is what it looks like. Deny self. But Lord, I really want to deny self. But you know, I just think, Lord, let me give you some advice. Deny self. Take up your cross, symbol of death to self, daily. And follow me. It's not a one-time thing. Salvation's a one-time thing. Lordship, dude, that's on the daily. So Asa has done amazing things. He broke the chain of generational sin. He faced down his people, in a sense, and got rid of their idols. And then he faced down a massive army with chariots. He led his people to revival. That's cool. That was good 20 years ago. Where's he at now? Anybody can start well. Where's he at now? In the 36th year of Asa, Israel's king Baasha went to war against Judah. Baasha is king of Jerusalem. He's attacking his Israelite brothers and sisters. This is wicked. He built Ramah in order to keep anyone from leaving or coming to King Asa of Judah. So he built up Ramah. It's just a fortified place. He builds up this place, and he's going to basically wall off Judah so no one can get in or out through that road, and so he's going to starve them out. And Asa's got to be fearful. And by the way, Asa now is in his 50s-ish. I don't know about you, but like in your 50s, you get a little tired. You're kind of like, I don't want to deal with this. Get the younger people to do this right now. I'm a little tired right now. You kind of get there. And if you're smiling saying, Brian, you're just being dumb, yeah, you just ain't there yet. If you're past there, you remember that. Yeah? That's where you hit. And he's got to figure out what to do. And he don't want to go to war. And just got his lazy boy, just came in. It was from China, took forever. There's a blockade out in California, it took a while. Finally got his lazy boy in, got the flat screen, he's good to go. But if he doesn't do something, they're going to get starved out. They're not going to be able to come or go. They're going to get overrun. And by the way, Baasha, many more people. This is the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes. They got a ton of people. Asa does not have an army big enough to go up against him. So Asa prayed, maybe, got ready to fight. He fasted. That's what he did. Maybe he sought out a priest and asked for some guidance from the Lord. So Asa brought the silver and gold from the treasuries of the Lord's temple in the royal palace. These don't belong to him. He's not allowed to do this. Silver and gold, riches that belong to God and belong to the next king and the king after him as an entrustment. And he sent it to Aram's king Ben-Hadad, who lived in Damascus, or what is now Syria. Ben-Hadad is a demigod in his land. He's a wicked king. And he sent this treasure to this third king. And here's what he said as he sent it. There's a treaty between me and you, between my father and your father. Look, I have sent you this. I gave you all this like mad stacks of cash. I gave you some Benjamins, bro. Go break your treaty with Israel's king Baasha so that he will withdraw from me. Here's what he just said. You and I got a treaty. You and him got a treaty. Break your treaty. Be unfaithful in your treaty with that king. And by the way, he's coming and attacking me, so all these other cities are open, so you can plunder that, plus you can have all my, all you got to do is take care of me. No problem, God, I got this thing figured out, I don't even need you. I'm going to have this king attack Baasha, who wants to attack me. Baasha will have to withdraw to fight him, I'll be safe. Plus, that king can then plunder Baasha since his army is here instead of back home. You following that so far? You with me? Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa, sent the commanders of his armies to the cities of Israel, which are unprotected right now. They attacked Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the storage cities of Naphtali. Doesn't matter what they are. The issue is unprotected cities get attacked. The king, Baasha, is going to get word. When Baasha heard about it, he quit building Ramah, stopped his work. Then King Asa. So Baasha breaks off. King Asa brought all of his people out, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timbers, and they built Geba and Mizpah with them. So what he did worked. He said, hey, listen, I'm going to pay you to go attack this guy here, and then I'll be safe. It works. He even gets to take all the stones and the timbers and all the work they did and bring it back and build two cities out of that. It worked. Brilliant strategy. Like if you were studying strategies, this would be in the book of military strategies. Asa's people are safe. They plunder Ramah. All's well that ends well. Hey, what's missing in this story? They didn't ever seek God, did they? Not once does he pray and seek God. They don't act in faith. This is pragmatism. This is the ends justify the means. Hey, we got there. Doesn't matter how we got there. We got there. Oh. Not saying it would ever happen. If somebody said we shredded the Constitution in order to get to where we want to, therefore it's okay, that would be a problem. Not saying that would ever happen in America. I'm just saying that would be a problem. The ends justify our means. That is the world we live in today. And it's not supposed to be you and I as God's people ever. Nor should we ever support that, regardless of which side it's on, ever. Azariah the prophet had said, remember this 20 years ago, as for you, be strong, don't give up in seeking God and doing what's right, for your work has a reward. Asa, don't give up. Asa, don't give up. Continue in the faith. He didn't continue in the faith. And so God's going to send him another prophet, a seer. At that time, the seer Hanani came to the king, and he said to him, remember, Asa didn't seek God, so God is going to seek him out. Here's what Hanani the seer says to him. Because you depended on the king of Aram and have not depended on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped you. In other words, there was going to be a time you're going to need to go up against him, and now you can't because you've made a treaty and your word is your word. Were not the Cushites and the Libyans a vast army? Remember them, bro, 20 years ago, chariots, horsemen? Remember that, the Gatling gun, remember that? Weren't they huge? When you depended on the Lord, he handed them over to you. Oh, remember back when I gave you victory? And then I want you to, listen, don't miss this next verse. It's a basic principle of who God is and what God continues to do to this very day. Listen, this is a promise to you. Basic principle, still alive today. For the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to show himself strong for those who are wholeheartedly devoted to him. Doesn't mean everything will always work out perfect. But listen, the eyes of the Lord are constantly roaming throughout the earth to show himself strong for those who are wholeheartedly devoted to him. Let me go back. You remember Asa's dad, Abijah? What? Why was he evil? Because he wasn't fully or wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord. He had a half-hearted commitment. The eyes of the Lord range, they roam throughout the earth to show himself strong for those who are wholeheartedly devoted to him. Let me say it again. For some of us, I'd be willing to bet you we need to kill our idols. We got the area of our life and we know what it is and we're rationalizing and saying, yeah, but it's not that bad. Well, compared to so-and-so, well, you know, the only standard of comparison is God and he's holy and none of us measure up. None of us. Lord, I'm wrong and you're right. I'm willing to smash the idol. I'm not promising I'll never struggle again. I'm willing to smash the idol. Oh, God says, man, I'd be glad to give you the strength for that. I'll show myself strong on your behalf. The seer continues with Asa. He says, you've been foolish in this matter. Therefore, you will have wars from now on. Actions and consequences. Passive judgment takes his hand of protection off of him. You made the treaty. You're going to have to live with that treaty. Take my hand off of you. You're going to get what you deserve rather than what you don't deserve, which is grace. Let me ask a question. Can King Asa repent? Can he? Would God give grace if he did? Well, of course, absolutely. There may still be some consequences, like if I drive drunk and take out a family of four, God will forgive me. I may still have to do some time as I should, right? But God would give grace if he would simply say, Lord, I was so wrong. I don't know what I was thinking. I was 50. That lazy boy was mighty comfortable. Man, I was watching the United States of Alan. That's a great show. Have you seen that show, Lord? That's an amazing show. I didn't want to... Grace is God's specialty. The cross of Christ for you and I in our day and age proves it. If you're still drawing breath, your story is still being written, and you get to decide the ending, and no one here has screwed up so bad that God won't forgive and receive you back. No one. Yeah, there are consequences to what you did. Of course. But the issue is, where are you at with God? It's not how you start, as good as that might be. It's not the middle, which may or may not be good. It's how you end. And it's never too late to make that change as long as you're drawing breath. You are loved. God is rooting for you. He is always for you and not against you. Always. Always. Here's Asa's response. Asa was enraged. Who are you? I'm 50 years old. You don't get to tell me nothing, kid. He was enraged with the seer. Put him in prison because of his anger over this. That's like to be Hanani. All you did was basically tell the king what God told you to say. Put him in prison. And Asa mistreated some of his people at that time. Because anger, when it is nurtured, turns into hatred and bitterness. And it always spills out on others who had nothing to do with it. Always. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa developed a disease in his feet. His disease became increasingly severe. And why are you telling me this? God, I don't need to know about his feet. Because of this. Yet even in his disease, he didn't seek the Lord, but only the physicians. He is so bitter towards God. He didn't get what he wanted. God didn't say, you did well. That he won't even seek God in his disease. Asa rested with his ancestors. He died in the 41st year of his reign. What a sad end to a great start. What a just a terribly, like, I've got friends who've been in ministry for a long time. And I've watched them. And I've watched a couple of guys now that have messed up in some huge ways. You know what I'm saying? Like just some huge ways. And I watched one guy who walked completely away from God, walked away from ministry, bitter as can be. I have no doubt the guy knows Jesus. I have no doubt that he's cut himself off completely from Jesus. I'm still praying, because he's still drawing breath. I know another guy messed up completely. Was a pastor, was a missionary, completely messed up. Came back to Jesus, and to see that grace is so heartwarming. These are guys who've given their lives to ministry. How much more for you and I who just love Jesus, man? If you've messed up, you can always come back. Always. Doesn't matter what the people of God think. Doesn't matter what chattering mouths say. Our God loves you, and he is always rooting for you. Always. Apples can fall far from the tree because of God. Doesn't matter where you've been, just where you go from here. We say that all the time, right? Doesn't matter how you got here, where do you go from here? Yeah, but you don't have any marriages I've been through. I hear that all the time, by the way. You don't have all the I hear that all the time. It's not a one-time thing. If you said that recently, you're one of two people who said it recently. I hear it all the time. Doesn't matter. Where do you go from here? Where do you go from here? Well, you don't know what I did. Okay, where do you go from here? I've read the scriptures like you have. I haven't found a single person that I would emulate and say there's a hero in the faith other than Jesus. There's a reason for that. He's the one you follow, and only him. Say it one last time. Grace is God's specialty, and the cross of Christ proves it. If you're still drawing breath, your story is still being written. Say, well, I'm just a mediocre. I'm never going to be much. I'm never going to. Dude, you don't have to be. Jesus is. All you got to do is be faithful and devote your heart completely to him. Your story's still being written. You get to decide the ending. The eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to show himself strong for those who are wholeheartedly devoted to him. That hasn't changed. You want to know his strength? Give him your heart. Smash your idols. That's all you got to do. I'm going to stop here. Questions, comments, and disagreements, and then we'll pray together.